Hi, and welcome to Culture Unraveled. And the reason I took this particular topic to talk about is because whenever I open my YouTube, the algorithms are set in such a way that the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard trial are the first ones to pop out. At least 5 to 6 videos of it every time I open them. Some 1 hour long, some like 20 seconds long. And so, what got me thinking is, why is it that it's so populated with this particular case? And even with others that I spoke to, they said that whenever they open their social media, this pops, this comes right up, which means that there is a huge audience that is consuming it. And of course, there are many elements in this trial which attracts you towards it. There's A-list celebrities there. There's violence going on, and here violence from a woman to a man. There is drugs and alcohol, mention of other celebrities, abuse, affair. So all of our worst impulses and vices come together here, which makes it very difficult to look away, which makes us want to follow this particular case and see how it's going, and their secret lives and their very personal lives are exposed on screen. People are, they themselves are talking about it, and then others are talking about what they are talking and so on. And it's just amazing how even as the courtroom trial is going on, immediately there are, in a lot of the interpretation, there are cut footages of Pirates of the Caribbean and then Johnny Depp as Captain Jack Sparrow and other movies that he's acted in. So the whole difference between real life and what's happening in this particular case to him and him as a character getting blurred, and that seems to be one thing that is kind of gelling together and bringing together, that the difference between the virtual world and what's happening here in this particular trial are getting blurred. They almost seem like they are actors on a stage, that this too is a particular performance that is going on here, whereas it's an actual case. They're actual two human beings who are in a very difficult situation, who've had a relationship in the past, but now it's turned very sour. All those considerations seems to be thrown out the window, and they, for us at least, they seem to be entertainment of two particular characters playing a role, and other characters such as the what lawyers and things like that are part of this whole charade. One thing that I found particularly interesting is that there are so many perspectives on it. There's so many takes on it, but even though it's all there, all of them seem to be moving towards the same narrative, which is kind of interesting. And maybe I could give the fact that these were just these could just be the algorithm that I'm following. But even searching a lot online, the dominant narrative is demonizing her. All right, Amber Heard seems to be the one who's demonized, which is sort of the new cultural narrative, but it is the dominant narrative. You know, that she is, she's almost like a monster. She's putting up this whole role that we don't know who she is, that behind all this is a person who's trying to manipulate this whole situation. It's a violent person, and she tarnished Johnny Depp's reputation, which there's truth to all these elements here. But what I found interesting is that everything is moving towards this one particular narrative. So even though there are so many perspectives, it's all echoing this same narrative that is there, which says a lot about the cultural phenomenon. You know, that ultimately one dominant narrative is going to take up and consume all these perspectives, and all these perspectives are just going to be mimicking this particular dominant narrative or giving different voices to this narrative. It isn't like a diverse views altogether, or absolutely a different way of looking at this case. It is all smaller voices kind of rehashing the same narrative, that this woman is evil, she defamed him wrongly, And so Johnny Depp is standing up for what happened and how his life turned out to be. A movie that comes to my mind as I was seeing it is the movie Untraceable. And Untraceable is basically about this serial killer who ties his victims, who connects these contraptions to kill these people to a website. And it's set in such a way that the greater the number of views, the faster the person dies, you know. So it's people contribute to the murder. So who are the murderers? Well, the people who are viewing it, those who get that type of voyeuristic pleasure from viewing it, they become the ones who murder the victims. And it's a very interesting social critique. It was taken sometime in 2009 or 2010. And something, as I was seeing this whole drama unfold, this whole courtroom trial unfold, it was something like that, that we are giving power to this whole system that is here. They are actors on a stage and they're playing these roles because they have a huge audience base looking at this event and seeing and analyzing everything that is happening here. It's a spectacle. It's something that since our skin is not in the game and we are not involved in it and our lives are not publicly put on display here, it's somebody else's life, there's immediately, and these are famous people, so it's to be able to see that and contribute to it. And what Untraceable also shows is that, you know, that if there's nobody watching, then there is no power to the system. But if there are people watching, then it immediately gives eyeballs. It gives power to the whole system that is there. It feeds into the dynamic. And it's difficult to look away, understand the difficulty of it. Even personally, it's the topic of social gatherings. It's the topic of conversation when we meet people. So there is sort of a need to be updated with the situation, at least know the what overall dynamic of what's happening here to get a sense of it. So that we can also add to conversations that go on around us. But in one sense, I guess looking away is the only option here. To cut ourselves away from it, we don't need to know the details of it. These are deeply personal lives of these Amber Heard and Johnny Depp. You know, their phone calls are put on display, their messages are put on display. These are very private things. Now, I understand that in order to prove that, you know, whichever party is innocent, they need to display that in courtroom, but we don't need to know that. We don't need to know the intricacies of what's happening in the private lives of two people like this. The only reason that we are drawn to it is because we get some sort of pleasure from seeing that, from kind of looking at it, talking about it, demonizing some people about it, saying, oh man, what is their life? How is it like this? And it's something that it brings no value to us. And so it is something that can be given up. You know, for one thing, at least the amount of which, the details to which we can consume this case can reduce drastically. If we want to keep tabs on some of the overall proceedings of the case, there should be ways to do that. But we definitely don't need details of what's happening with this case. So if there is something that we could do, maybe it is to pray for them. Pray for the couple. Ultimately, you see two people hurting deeply. You also see that they really loved each other. From what is shown, they really loved each other in the past, but things have gone south now. And so our best alternative is to look away, not follow the details of the trial, and put them, you know, submit them in prayer that their lives would, there would be some sort of reconciliation, that this anger won't go deeper, that we ourselves won't feed into this anger and hate, but they would be able to reconcile or come to an amicable settlement about this, that the court would do whatever it can to kind of bring justice to the situation, and that it will be closed and they would be able to move on.